Join us as Pastor Ron Duty teaches us of the importance of obeying the Lord. Don't flee from him like Jonah.
Turn with me this morning, if you would, to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah. Chapter 1, verse 3. Chapter 1, verse 3. Well, could you imagine being Jonah after he'd been in the belly of that whale for 3 days? And he goes to Nineveh and he preaches down in Nineveh, and they there in Nineveh repent of their sin. And then Jonah goes on, and years passes, and all of a sudden he's sitting around with all of his fishing buddies, and they're all talking these big tales about how these big fish caught them, or they caught these big fish. Then all of a sudden, Jonah begins to tell them how a big fish caught him and how many of them would have believed him as he was telling this tale. All right? Well, whenever you read the book of Jonah, for me, it's a literal book. Sometimes individuals like to think that, or they try to say that it's not really a true event, but it's more of an allegory or something along those lines. And I don't agree. I think this is exactly something that happened to this individual. And he lived to tell the story. And then he penned this book, the book of Jonah. And so, but before I get to talking about this, I want to tell you a little story. Something I heard this past week about this old man and his young son. They went into this big motel. And what made me think of this is Karen and I spent a night at this hotel by the association pastor wives retreat type thing. And so we got to meet a lot of the pastors in our association. But anyhow, this old man and his young son, they went into this motel. And as they walked in, it's the first time he ever saw an elevator. And he looked over and he saw this elevator, and he's watching individuals come and go. And finally he got to look and he saw this older woman kind of hobble into this elevator. And as he's watching the elevator, he saw the lights above the elevator all lit up, and he saw this thing kind of go up like this, and all of a sudden it's still lighting, and it did in reverse. And he said, as he was standing there watching the elevator, he said, this real young woman steps out and walks out. And he said, he looked over at his son and said, go get your mom. God's good, isn't he? And listen to me. I believe God has a sense of humor. Don't you? If you don't believe that, look in the mirror. Sometimes. Not all of you, just a few of us. And you'll understand, I think God has a sense of humor. This morning, I like to focus in on verse 3 in Jonah chapter 1. Now, we know that according to verse 1, is that God came to Jonah, and the word of the Lord came to Jonah, and he instructed Jonah what he was to do. He was to go down to Nineveh, and then he was to preach to those individuals in Nineveh that they were to repent of their wickedness. And there in that verse 2, it says that that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. It was displayed before God. He could see it. And he's telling Jonah, I want you to go down there, and I want you to preach against them and tell them to repent. But in verse 3, Jonah had other ideas. He thought he was going to do it his way. And verse 3 said, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Man, I love that. I love this guy. You know, Jude, every time I get the chance to, Jonah is a really an interesting character. Again, listen to the verse and see some of the things that went through this prophet's mind. All right? Now, think about it. It wouldn't take too long for any of us to come up with a couple points to speak on this individual. So, Jonah, says he rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found the ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, here it is, a man of God, a prophet of God. And he hears a message from the Lord. And the message from the Lord is, I want you to do something, and I want you to go someplace, and I want you to do what I tell you to do, and I want you to speak to these individuals. But whenever you look at verse 3, there it says that, but Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish. And that word, whenever it says, if you look at the word rose up, Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish, mean that point number one is he made a resolution. And the resolution was not, is this, I'm not going with the Lord. Man, I'm just not going in that direction, Lord. I know that's what you want me to do, but I'm not going to do it. And so Jonah says, I'm going to go in a different direction. Now, here's the thing of it is, when we think about the resolution, is this is not something that happened on an impulse. How many of you ever do something on impulse, and after you've done it, you were kind of sorry that you did it? You ever done those things? Oh, I've done a lot of those. You know, I used to tell Karen, and this is one thing that I do in my relationship with her, is I guard myself in a lot of areas, because I often tell her that there are certain places I don't want to go. And the reason I don't want to go there is because if I know that if I do those specific things in dealing with my relationship with her, there are lines that I would cross that I would never be able to get back over. You know what I mean? I could always say, well, I've never did this, or I've never done that, or I've never said these, or I've never been harsh on this type of deal. But once we cross those lines, we say, well, I can't ever go back because I did it. Where it is, Jonah could never say that he never ran from the Lord, because he did. And he can never say that he did this thing on an impulse, because he did. He made a resolution. He actually thought about it. It wasn't something that just happened overnight. It's something that he decided to do, and he was going to run from the Lord. It's kind of like you and I look at it, we see the folly of it, don't we? How are you going to get out of the presence of God? Notice what he said there. But Jonah rose up early to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. He wanted to flee. He wanted to escape God. Now, if you want to give an example to that, you can almost see that in the world today. It seems like the world, they want to escape God, don't they? You and I think, okay. Listen, what we do, we've moved him out of our government. We're just going to escape God. If we don't have him there, he can't do nothing. He can't make no decisions. He can't have any impact upon us. Let's get him out of there. And we'll have a better society. Things will be a lot better. We moved him out of our schools thinking we can escape God. Say, if we get him out of our school, everything will be a lot better. Let me ask you, the schools any better today than they were back when you went as a young person to school? I do remember as a little boy, I wasn't ever allowed to, but I remember whenever they used to be allowed, boys in the hills where I was from were allowed to bring guns to school. They were allowed to. As a matter of fact, it wasn't nothing once we got into high school. Now, I wasn't down there, but down there, whenever young men were in high school, it wasn't nothing to look out there and see a pickup truck parked out there in the parking lot with a shotgun in hanging from the window of it. It was nothing to see that. I mean, it was just about everyone did it. And the thing of it is what we have is what we try to do is we try to escape God. We say, well, if we get God out of this, we'll be better. And so we try to run from God. And all we do whenever we're looking around, we see the things that take place in the world around us, even with Jonah doing what he did, we say, man, that's just the folly of it all. It wasn't something that we do on impulse. It's something that we made a resolution to. Let's get rid of God. And God says, you see what's going to happen after you get rid of me. Hey, look at this. In this, again, let me read it one more time. It says, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. Now, notice what he said here. Here's what Jonah did. All right, this is interesting. First of all, it says that he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He said, okay, I'm on the boat. I'm in the ship. I'm going down at the bottom, and that settles it. God's not here. No, God's there, isn't he? And boy, I tell you what, I thank God that God's involved in my life, aren't you? But at the same time, we need to be very careful on how we deal with God, because God is serious about his word and how we conduct ourselves with his word. But it is, it says that he paid the fare. Let me just give you three quick things here, all right? Number one is, if Satan made a way for him to pay the fare. Notice he had the money to pay the fare. Not only did he have the money to pay the fare, but there was a ship there waiting for him to get on board that he paid the fare to. So the devil made a way for him to escape. So if you want to run from God, the devil said, I'll open the door for you. And so Jonah paid the fare. But here's the thing of it is, Jonah didn't realize that what he paid and the fare that will cost him was a lot more than what he was expecting. If you knew that you were going to get on board a ship and all you had to do was pay the fare to get on board a ship. Now, I like something that Brother Joel said, is where he was going was to Tarshish. And Tarshish was a resort there, man. I mean, it was a paradise place to go to. And so Jonah says, instead of going down to Nineveh, over where those evil people are, I'm going to go over here where it's really nice and pleasant and comfortable. Now, a lot of us have that idea when they were running from God, especially the world. Now, they have the idea they're running from God, they're going to find something comfortable. But they don't understand that whenever you run from God, there's a price that you have to pay that God's going to charge. Amen? Yes. And so how many of you would, if you knew in Jonah's place, that there was that you had the fare in your pocket and you run from God, and there was a boat waiting on you there, and all you had to do was get on board and go out into the sea, and there was a whale waiting on you out there, how many of you would take it? Huh? I wouldn't mind catching a big whale. Right? Brother Bobby? Wouldn't mind catching that big thing, but I don't want to be caught by that big thing, and I don't want to be in his belly either for a while. But here it is, the folly of it all. Thinking we can run from God. Folks, listen to me. Listen to what I'm telling. You have these atheist, intelligent people sit around and debate whether God exists or not. Is there a God out there? And the silliness of it all is they give you all these reasons why they believe God doesn't exist. But whenever you look around you and you see all the is going on in the world today, and you see everything in the universe, I mean, it's obvious that God exists. And man doesn't recognize his word, and as a result of it, they think they can run from the presence of God. And every time, it seems to get worse and worse and worse. Again, we could go back on the schools. We could go back on the world. How many of you feel safer today than you did 40 years ago? How many of you feel safer today than you did 60 years ago? You know what we had on our house for a walk whenever I was a little boy? Seriously, man, we had a door, and I don't know exactly what it was made out of, made by somebody. And it wasn't something that we bought from the store, I can tell you that right now. And that thing would shut up against the casing that they had around it. And then my father had taken a piece of wood about like this size and took a nail, and he nailed a nail through that piece on this wall, and all you did just turn that thing down a little bit to hold that door shut. And you know something other? I hated that. You know why I hated it? Because I was the doorkeeper at our house. Every time the wind would blow, that little thing would fall down, that door would fly open, and my dad would say, get that door, Ron. All day long, they're thinking this. I'm just saying, and you could leave your home back then, and you didn't have to worry about somebody breaking. I'm not saying it never happened. I'm just saying we didn't worry about it because things were not as bad back then. Why? Because people understood a little bit more about God then than we do today. And we recognize that God's out there. Whether they went to church or whether they believed it or not, they still had respect for those things of God. They knew they shouldn't lie. They knew they shouldn't steal. They knew they shouldn't kill. They knew they shouldn't commit. I mean, all these different things they knew and they practiced because they had this thing about moral values. Even though God, we had the Bible in the school. Remember the missionaries used to come to your school? Some of you remember that. I remember. I told you a story about this one lady. Just for to kill some time, I'm going to share it with you again. Her name was Jane. And Jane, boy, I'll tell you, Jane was one of those women. And this has nothing to do with any Jane here, okay? If your name Jane, it's not you. But Jane was one of those women that whenever you looked at, you knew, but you better be nice. She had that look on her face. She was mean. But I first met Jane, and I didn't realize this until time went by, but I first met Jane, and she's the one who told me, she said, we went to our church there as a pastor. I went there, and she came up to me one day. She said, what am I supposed to call you? And I shared this with you. She said, what am I supposed to call you? Am I supposed to call you Pastor Ron or Reverend Ron? I never liked the word Reverend Ron. And I'll be honest with you, it's okay to call me Pastor if you want, but I like Ron. All right. And I know there's reasons why they call them, by the way. All right. So I told her, I said, well, how about just call me Ron? That would work. She said, I'll tell you what I'll do. She said, if I remember right, she said, whenever I'm not mad at you, I will call you Pastor. And she said, if I call you Reverend, that means I'm mad at you. I said, I'll remember that. And we were there for about 20 years. And I think she was there about 18 years or 20 until she went home. But she never called me Reverend. And as we got to know each other, I found out that she was a missionary down in the place where I was from. And I found out she came to our school on Tuesdays to teach God's word in our school. And I don't know if I met her or not, but she might have been the one that planted the seeds all those years ago in that school. You know what I'm saying? Folks, listen, time were different. Never God was in it. But we've tried to escape God. And like Jonah, there's nothing but trouble coming. And I'm telling you right now, if you think it was good then, bad now, listen, it's good now compared to what it's going to be if we continue on the course that we're on. Because it's not going to get any better because we're still running from God, this country, this world. And I'll be honest with you, I know some of you might not like this, but I think God has given this country, and not only this country, I think he's given the world as a whole, as a reprobate, because there's nothing but confusion in the world. And why is it like that? Is it because of God? No, it's not because of God. It's because of man. Man running from God. And as a result of that, that's what you get. It's confusion. Jonah got in a situation he didn't want to be in, and the world is getting himself into a situation they don't want to be in because they're going to have to deal with God. They might be paying a price to escape him, but eventually they'll have to pay the price that God requires too, like Jonah did. Amen? But here it is. He made a resolution to run from God. Now, I got to say this, and just for a little bit of an interlude here, and that's this. Last week, I made it through the whole service, and I did not say West Virginia once. Okay? And somebody brought it to my attention at the end of the service, and they said, Pastor, you didn't say West Virginia one time last week. And so I said, well, in my heart, and I was leaving, I said, I'll make it up this week. because I'm going to say West Virginia about three times or four. God's good. He cares for us. Folks, listen. Let's don't run from God. Amen? It's not good. If God gives you a word to do something, just do it. Just do it. Because I'm telling you, it's far better to spend your energy doing what God calls you to do than it is to waste your energy trying to run from God thinking you can actually do it. Amen? Now we say that this point number one is the resolution that he made in his heart was to run from God. Resolution, not impulse. But I'm going to tell you this morning that it was not merely a resolution that he made to run from God, but it was an effort that he made to run from God. He knew that he was running from God. Amen? Now stop thinking just for a second. Look at that verse again. It says, but Jonah rose up. Otherwise, the resolution. I have decided, not as an impulse, but I thought this over, and I'm running from this, to flee unto Tarshish. He's going down to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And so he goes down to Joppa. He goes all the way to Joppa. And then once he gets to Joppa, he had to search around to find a ship that was going to Tarshish. And so once he found the ship that was going to Tarshish, he paid the fare there, huh? And he went down into it. So he went through the whole bunch of trouble just to get away from God. Amen. Once he decided to do that, he said, okay, I know there's a lot of hoops I'm going to have to jump through, and I'm going to have to put forth a whole lot of effort to do it, but I'm going to get her done because I'm running from God. And man, do they do it today. All the effort that we do and put into this resolution that we made to run from God. Hey, let me share something with you, all right? And I want to come down here just for a moment to do this. I find it comical sometimes when I watch the news, don't you? The things that people will do to get a dollar or two, and how all the effort they will put into it to get it. I think sometimes if these individuals, as they go through the process of trying to rip somebody off to get money, you know what I mean? I'm thinking these individuals, that little scheme that they just worked out or however they did it, the effort they put into it and all the energy they put into it, I sometimes think, man, that guy's a genius. Really? I know there's a lot of fools out there, too. I read one this past week, somebody actually went in and robbed a bank. And while they were robbing the bank, of course, they were setting the stage to rob it, and they had to pull their ID out first. All right. And so they laid their ID down on the counter, and then they went ahead and proceeded to rob the bank. And whenever they got the money, they ran out and left their ID there. I'm telling you right now, that person, I'm going to tell you right now, that person wasn't from West Virginia. Because we don't have IDs back there. But you see what I'm trying to say? I think sometimes when these people implement these programs to rip somebody off, the intelligence that's behind that, if they would apply that out there in the right way, they would make a lot more money because they're so smart on some of the things they do to get other people's money. And so they put all this effort into running from God, where if they would put that effort in going towards God, they would accomplish so much more. You know what I mean? Accomplish so much more. And not only would they accomplish so much more, but the end result would is that they would be blessed with the presence of God in their lives. Amen? How many of you ever know that God is speaking to you? Listen, I'm just saying to you this morning, whenever you hear the voice of the Lord, move towards the voice. Amen. Not merely a resolution, but it's a resolution that required effort. And he put all his effort into running from God. And folks, listen, if you watch man, now stay with me just a few more minutes, okay? If you watch men today out there in the world put forth all the effort they do in running from God, but you know why they do that? I think it's because they know that God is after them. I like that guy who wrote Amazing Grace. He said long before he ever became a Christian, he would hear these footprints or footsteps behind him. And he said he would turn around, John Newton, right? He would turn around. He said he'd be walking by himself. He'd hear this noise behind him, turn around. And he'd look, and there wouldn't be nothing there. And he said he'd be on docks in different countries where he'd be. And he'd be standing on the dock by himself, and he'd hear these footsteps, or he'd hear someone calling John. And he said he'd turn around. You can read this. And he turned around to look to see. There wouldn't be nobody there. And he said he found out once he became a Christian and came to know God, that it was always God pursuing him. You know? Amen? And the reason mankind is running so fast today is because he knows that God is pursuing him. Jonah, God was pursuing Jonah, wasn't he? And boy, was he ever pursuing him. Now, we say not merely a resolution, but it was an effort that he put into this. So let me give you number three, all right? Number three is, it was a persevering effort that he put into this. He did it with every bit of energy that he had to run from God. And he knew it. Tell me, this is a guy who was a prophet of God. And he said, I ain't gone. Now, I know he had his motive, he had his reason, and later on this will come out. But he says, I'm just not going. So what was he doing? Well, what do we get from this? Let me get you two things, all right, real quick. Listen. And then I will close this. In this here, we see two things. And we'll see it out here in the world. We see it in the church. We see it in our own lives. And that is this, the two things that we see. And number one is, God's mercy. Now listen, because we live in this time that we live in, is God's mercy is always speaking. God's mercy, well, God's grace is always speaking. God's always busy. He's always saying something. He's always calling. He's always moving around. God's mercy is always speaking. And number two is, that we see is, man in terror. And listen, it's in terror. I believe it. You see it in the lives of individuals out there. Take time to talk with them. Man in terror is always fleeing from the voice that is speaking, which is God's grace calling out, come, hear me, and hear what I have to say. How wrong and how foolish it is to attempt to flee from an infinite God. Amen. It's foolish. Folks, God's moving here this morning, and God's speaking here this morning. And whatever he's telling you to do, just do it and don't run from it. Father, this morning again, we bow before you. We know that your spirit is here. We know that your spirit is moving and speaking and revealing. Help us, Father, not to flee, but to slow down, hear, and respond to your word, whatever it might be. As we sing this song of invitation, I pray, Father, that if there's any decision that needs to be made for you and for your kingdom, today they would be made. Because I'm telling you, we are living in the end times. And time is fleeing. And your presence is drawing near. And for those that will run from you today, will pay the price someday, the price that you will charge. I pray, Father, no one in this room would flee from you knowing that they can have Jesus Christ as their Savior, your grace, that speaks today. Because one day they will stand before you without Jesus in their life and pay the ultimate price, an eternal sacrifice that you would require of them. This morning, as we sing this song of invitation, Father, whatever decision need be made, they be made for you, for your glory, and for your kingdom. And we just thank you in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. You have just heard a message from Pastor Rowan Duty of the First Baptist Church of Carroll, Ohio. If you would like more information about starting a relationship or growing in your walk with the Lord, please visit our website at www.firstbaptist.life.